Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Jordan Garber Now on ZOCNation.com. Yes, it is none other than your host, Jordan Garber. And what a way to kick off a new era of the podcast. Our first replacement announced for the whole Hall of Fame situation I announced on the Jordan Garber Now social media. First replacement is a good one. It's none other than former Impact Wrestling star Jesse Neal. He makes his return on the show. How are you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good.
Excellent. Great to hear. You know, what you been up to lately? You know, we haven't heard much about Jesse Neal lately, but, you know, you said you had a few injuries and everything, and just tell the fans what you've been working on.
Yeah, I've been pretty quiet lately. Have been having some like family issues and stuff like that, but things are clearing up. Started wrestling back here in Florida in January, and then unfortunately I ended up snapping my ankle, broke it, exploded all the ligaments, all that bad stuff, and had to have surgery about 2 months ago. Thankfully, the cast is coming off this week on Thursday. I start to learn how to walk again, and in June I'll be back in the ring.
Awesome. That's perfect. And, you know, let's kind of get to the roots of your career. I know we covered this on the last episode, but to refresh the new listeners' memory, since it is a new show, it is a new development, a lot of stuff is happening with the podcast, so why don't we enlighten and freshen the fans' memories by going to the roots of prior to your wrestling career being in the military? Kind of just give us an overview on that and how you decided you wanted to transfer to pro wrestling from there.
Yeah, I mean, when I went in the military, it was kind of crazy. It was right after high school and stuff, and they slammed me right on a boat right after school and all that good stuff, and I was just having a blast, man. And then, unfortunately, my ship got attacked by terrorists back in October 12, 2000. So I went through a very dramatic time back then. And after I got out, I had like a year and a half or so after the bombing and stuff, still on my contract or whatever. So I ended that with the military, and I just, you know, went job to job to job, never really knew what I wanted to do and stuff like that. And it took one day, I was bouncing in Orlando, Florida, and me and my buddies were talking about, we always talk about wrestling all the time, stuff like that. And then I'm like, you know what, like, I got to do it. Like, it's finally getting my life together and concentrate on a goal, and because that's what I'm always grew up as, especially in the military, is you know, always have goals, and I didn't have any. You know, I was lost there for a bit, so I found my way back, and fortunately, in Kissimmee, Florida, with the Dudleys, I trained with those guys. Definitely owe a lot to them, you know, that I've ever had in this business. It was pretty crazy training there, and I mean, I've always loved it ever since I was a kid and everything, and I was a big fan of it when I was in the Navy and stuff. And, like I said, it just, as soon as I met the Dudley School, I never looked back.
And you talk about training with the Dudleys and, you know, getting that huge boost to the start of your career, being trained by these legends, these 20 plus time tag team champions of the world. Think about it. There's no better trainers than that. So to have the Dudley boys, teach you, like, give you the roots and the development of your wrestling career, and for you to go to that school definitely was a huge advantage. In that point in saying, what are some valuable brownie points that they taught you throughout the development of your career?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of things that they taught me, and I was very lucky to choose that school and get that kind of training. Obviously, that's why I got signed so fast, too. Is their training and, you know, their spots and stuff like that. It was right timing, right place, right time. And that's another thing they taught me. You know, everything in this business is right place, right time. You know, just in, you know, if they say no, like big companies or something like that to you, and you're still stuck on the indies, you never know when that second's going to be a yes, you know. So that was another hard lesson that they taught me. And, of course, like, I was very lucky to actually get a yes very soon. The most thing that I ever took from them is basically an ass whooping. they beat the crap out of me, and but I appreciate it now. When I was going through it, man, there was times where I would leave practice like almost in tears, like, what am I doing? You know, why am I doing this? But I'd always find myself back there the next day, you know. So, I mean, a long lesson that I've learned is, you know, they beat the crap out of me. They made me earn everything I've ever gotten in this business. And I can't thank them enough for that type of stuff. But, and I still hold that today. Like, there ain't nobody out there that can beat the crap out of me anymore. I mean, they took care of that.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's something that you take with you. And along with them beating the crap out of you, you learn something out of it every time. And that transition to your career in Impact Wrestling that you had, it was a pretty decent run. It was pretty awesome. Like, I remember watching the product as a kid. I'm 21 now. Let's say that was like around 9-10 years ago. I remember you guys, I watched you guys every Thursday night. I was quite the fan. I watched your career as well from the beginning, working with Rhino. And working with such a legend like that in a major company, what was kind of going through your mind knowing that you're going to get your start with Rhino in TNA? And was there anything that he taught you along the way?
Well, when I first got there and stuff, I had no idea what I was doing. You know, no idea what they had, you know, in mind they wanted to do with my real life story, which was great and stuff. And luckily, Rhino, you know, was there. And I mean, working with him on segments and, you know, backstage promos and in-ring stuff and everything like that was insane. Like, I mean, I'm a nobody, and I just came out of nowhere, and now I'm training and doing segments with Rhino, and then we got into a team with me, Rhino, and the Dudleys. I mean, with us four, and we're on TV, we're on pay-per-view, we're all, like, I was like a little kid in a candy store, you know what I mean? I felt proud of all the hard work. You know, hard work does pay off, and that shows it. You know, a lot of people didn't know how much hard work I've ever put in the business because they thought I was just a brand new kid right off the street that didn't know how to wrestle going into TNA. But I've been training at the Dudleys for forever, it felt like, you know. So it was kind of a different transition, but I was with all those guys, man. It was an honor and a privilege, man. I was soaking up everything that they taught me. And more, like I said, real life experiences, man, being on the road and stuff like that.
I like how you bring that up because I was in Winnipeg as well, where I'm from. They had the CWE show with Paul Orndorff, and to have him literally a legend like that, the main event, the first WrestleMania, sitting there at the table telling you all these memories about the business and everything. By the way, fans, he is going to be a future guest on the show. I began talks with him, which is great news to announce our replacement, but to just listen about the business. And I was just having this chat with so many veterans about it on Friday. The wrestling business teaches you something about life as well. And it's great. It's a great feeling because I've been ribbed and I've got slammed in the ring before, just as is me being Jordan Garber. It's good because I take everything out of it as much as I can because I love it. And it's great to have a conversation with someone that certainly shares that same passion. And transitioning to that, you worked with a lot of great names in TNA that we were discussing. What about Matt Morgan? You know, you feuded with him as well during your first few segments. How did that work out for you?
He actually is an amazing talent in ring and backstage. He's a great guy. Of course, I was nervous going against some big guy like that right off the get-go. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, here we go. You know, and that first match, he was great, man. He took care of me, and, I mean, I ate his boot. I couldn't feel half my face for 4 days, so I definitely felt it. And the biggest transition for me during that point was from the indies to actual TV stuff, because TV stuff hurts, man.
Do you kind of notice that the TV product is a little harder to perform with in matches doing different camera angles? Oh, my goodness. So I have tongue twisters today. Camera angles, different camera angles and everything and the directions you have to face and different things you have to remember. Was it a difficult transition doing certain indie shows to being on television and being on cable and everything and adjusting to that TV style?
Luckily for me, I was trained by the Dudleys, so, and they helped me out a lot with stuff like that, especially before I would have my first match. You know, like I said, I was a sponge, man. I listened to everything. I was telling somebody at an indie show the other day that, you know, when I was at TNA, I would literally sit, like, I wouldn't even have a segment, but I would be sitting there in the production where they're doing promos or whatever it is, and I would watch, I would learn, I would see what they're doing. So the transition for me, like, to my first match, to either put my head this way or put my head that way or face the camera, because you always want to sell yourself, so you got to be on camera, you know what I mean? It was pretty easy for me. Like, I love doing it. It's a showman thing, you know what I mean? And the fans at TNA, they were awesome, man. They adapted to me. They, like, cling to me very well, especially at the very beginning, which I appreciate every second of it. And I've wrestled in front of this crowd, and like, with TNA and without TNA. So it's like they knew me before TNA. They know me during TNA and well after, because I believe I've become a better, way better wrestler than I've ever been, you know, in TNA and stuff. And that's just because I was new, you know what I mean? I was kind of holding back a little bit. And then when Shannon come on board, you know what I mean? Like, that helped me come out of my shell, as they say, or whatever, you know. And Shannon helped me out a lot. Had a lot of fun with him on the road, too.
Speaking of Shannon as well, how did that whole thing come about? Who came to you about the whole ink gimmick, the whole tag team? How did that come along? Did Bruce come to you with that, or whose idea was
that
at the time? Did you go over that?
The great unique thing about Ink Inc. was it was me and Shannon. Like, it was always him and I, you know what I mean? Like, all the ideas, Ink Inc., even to the t-shirt design, to, you know, Shannon had a part in that, and, like, the music, and, like, just our attitudes. And the great thing about Ink Inc. was it was kind of real. Like, I mean, obviously, in TNA, you've seen the real side of me, you know, not just theatrical, but, you know, because I brought some of my real life, you know, situation, the story involved in the storyline and stuff. And, you know, we had a lot more other ideas, too, that we didn't get to do. And do I regret some of it? Yeah, because we had some really good stuff, man. It would have been pretty badass for Ink Inc. to actually do what they were supposed to do. And I think we're, like, the only tag team that's never held the belts, too. So that's kind of shitty.
Well, you know, definitely. And you had a great run overall in TNA, and it was definitely something I enjoyed. I watched the whole run of it, and it was definitely a cool experience, especially me going through high school and, you know, just starting to watch wrestling, because I started watching wrestling later. And grow up watching some of your matches, definitely a very cool thing indeed. Transitioning from TNA to the independents, what were you kind of working on after that when you found out you got released? Were you kind of looking at some, like, a job, other options, or were you just going to go on the indie scene because you had that name value already, so were you just focused on getting a lot of bookings after that time?
Yeah, well, obviously me and TNA had to cut ties. I had, like, 2 more years of my contract, and I asked for my release because there was some issues or whatever. But and plus, I mean, I wanted to move on. I felt like I was stagnant and I wasn't doing any good to TNA, in my own opinion. I went to the office and stuff like that, and I just felt like I was stagnant. I wasn't doing good enough, and I could have been better. So we felt, you know, at time it was time to take a breather or whatever, so I left. And I got noticed by WWE or whatever. I did a tryout with those guys. Everything went great with that, and had some extra spots with WWE and stuff. And I just wanted to get back on the indies and have fun, you know what I mean, and, like, do me, you know what I mean, because on TNA, some stuff got cut, or, you know, we couldn't do this or that or whatever. And it's like, I don't know, I wanted to do so much more. So on the indies, I got to do that again, you know. But then some family stuff happened, and I went moved a little bit, take care of my family or whatever, and now I'm back down to Florida wrestling again. Just loving it, man. I go into an indie show, and they respect me, and it's there's always that respect with me and all the shows I do down here in Florida and everywhere else, because I'm just – I mean, that's what we were trained in the Dudleys, too, is always show respect to this business, because the business don't owe you a thing, you know. So I try to keep that in my head, and everybody's cool, man. I'm just having fun. I want to get in there, and I want to see some stuff I've never done before, you know what I mean? So I think I'm at the top of my game now, especially once I get this cast off and stuff and get back, man. It's going to be awesome.
Tell us a little bit more where the Jordan Garbin Now listeners can see you live, where you wrestle now, and all the plugs that you have for us.
I'm in talks again to come back with the RCW up in Canada, which is always a blast every time I come up there. Hopefully this year sometime. And then I got a few bookings starting in June, so because I'll be ready then. One's going to be in Orlando at I Believe. There's going to be a big Florida J Cup tournament going on. It's me and I think six, seven, or eight or other guys or something like that. And we're wrestling at 205 or lighter. So, I mean, we're going to be kicking some ass over there, man. It's going to be one hell of a tournament there. And then on the 3rd, I got a hardcore match, AWE, in Cocoa Beach, Florida. That's going to be pretty badass. That's going to be a badass match, man, because I love hardcore shit anyway. So, and I was taught by two of the fucking the greatest. So that's going to be a lot of fun June 3rd. So that's in Cocoa Beach.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Jesse Neal, for being on Jordan Garber Now tonight, and I wish you all the best, and, you know, keep in touch. I'd love to have you on the show again sometime soon.
Sounds good, buddy. Thank you for having me on, bud.
Thank you. Take care. Have a good night.
All right, bud. You too.
All right, bye. That was none other than former TNA star Jesse Neal on Jordan Garber Now worldwide on VOCNation.com. Now, I addressed the situation on Friday. I had a Hall of Famer in the works, a Hall of Famer announced for the podcast, and due to WWE commitments, she could not be on the podcast. So I was in talks with Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, and I'm in talks with another WWE Hall of Famer. So I assure all the fans that are listening right now that you will get what I promised. And that is either Paul Orndorff or suitable replacements. Anyways, I want to talk about this podcast. I want to talk about a revolution in wrestling podcast. And I want to talk to the world about why Jordan Garber is the man to do that. I've made headlines before, and I'm going to be doing it again, because Jordan Garber Now cares about the fans, and we deliver what the fans ask for. So this show is going to be back up in the books, and it's going to be making a statement on VOCNation.com worldwide. You've listened to Jordan Garber Now with replacement number one, former TNA star Jesse Neal, on VOCNation.com. Have a good night.